welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Good. Back in Georgia, where the living is easy and it's hot as heck.
Yeah. What time of the year does the temperature sort of begin to cool off?
Yeah. If you talk to me, who's a northerner, Canadian, I would say never, but probably, October. October's a beautiful month here. November is a gorgeous month here. And my solace is that those are miserable times to be up in the northern regions.
We're going to talk about a poem that you selected that deals with ovarian cancer. Listeners may know that ovarian cancer isn't particularly common, but it is deadly. There are about 300,000 new cases of ovarian cancer each year around the world. About half that number, 185,000 ovarian cancer deaths. In the U.S., we have about 22,000 new cases of ovarian cancer. That's about half as many as we have of breast cancer, and about 14,000 ovarian cancer-related deaths. We know that there are genetic predispositions for ovarian cancer, particularly BRCA1 and BRCA2 and Lynch syndrome, but there are others as well. They account for about 10% of ovarian cancers. This isn't to say that at 10% of cancers are genetic. I suspect the number will be much higher. We just haven't identified the genetic link. Just by example, the risk for ovarian cancer among those who have BRCA1 is about 50%, about 20% with BRCA2, a little bit less, maybe 15% with Lynch syndrome. There are, of course, other factors that increase the risk for ovarian cancer, certainly advancing age, genetic and endocrine and reproductive and environmental factors. Again, some are hinted at and others we suspect but don't know for sure. There are potential options for subsequent ovarian tumor screening. We've talked in these poems about CA125, also vaginal ultrasound. However, in an average age woman with average risk, there is no evidence to support a benefit for any one ovarian cancer screening. No cancer screening strategy has been shown to reduce mortality, and all of the strategies are associated with a high rate of false positives. But what about using multiple modalities? In other words, not one of these, but two in a series. You found a poem. It was published in Lancet this year, 2021. It starts on page 2182, and it attempts to answer the question, does screening for ovarian cancer using an algorithm that customizes interpretation and follow-up of CA125 reduce ovarian cancer mortality in average-risk women? Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, this was a huge study. It's called the UK Collaborative Trial of Ovarian Cancer Screening. UKC TOCS is how it's normally described. And it was a massive trial, 200,000 average risk women aged 50 to 74 years. And they randomized 50,000 to this multimodal screening, 50,000 to annual pelvic ultrasound, and 100,000 to usual care. So the multimodal screening was based on CA125, but it was also combined with risk factors that these women had, other risk factors, information about that. And instead of using a single cutoff for all women like 35, they individualized it. So if a woman had been having annual CA125s of 12, 15, 13, 14, and then all of a sudden it went up to 25, that could trigger additional testing, possibly an ultrasound, if necessary, a biopsy. The women were recruited between 2000 and 2001 and 2005 and screened regularly until 2011, so for between 6 and 10 years. They published an interim report about 11 years of follow-up several years ago, and that was incomplete. There were only 25% of the women had complete data at that time. And they also used a post hoc analysis. They came up with a new way of analyzing the data. They excluded some patients. And after torturing the data, they found a small reduction in ovarian cancer-specific mortality. I was actually part of a group that reviewed these data, and we actually wrote an editorial in the American Family Physician about this at the time and saying these results have to be interpreted very cautiously, and we really shouldn't change anything until we get the full results. Well, we have those now. This is based on a median of 16 years of follow-up, with complete follow-up for almost all of the women, 95%. Now, overall, 0.9% of women in each group were given a diagnosis of invasive ovarian or tubal cancer. There was no significant difference between groups in ovarian cancer-specific mortality. It was 0.6% in both groups, the control and the multimodal screening. They did secondary analyses looking at only early and late deaths. They looked at the ultrasound. That also had no benefit. They did see a stage shift with multimodal screening. 47% more women had a diagnosis of stage 1 disease, and about 25% fewer had stage 4 disease. But this still didn't translate into a mortality benefit. That may be because if you combine stage 3 and 4, that incidence was only 10% lower. And they don't report harms in terms of the number of biopsies and surgeries. There's no difference in all-cause mortality. And the stage shift might simply be represent the fact that this cancer may metastasize quite early. So even at relatively early stages, detecting it doesn't necessarily affect mortality. Bottom line, like the US PLCO cancer screening trial, which randomized a very large number of women to ultrasound or CA125 or usual care, this very long, very large UK study found no reduction in mortality with the ovarian cancer screening. It's unfortunate, but the authors are quite clear that this was unfortunately a negative trial.
So it's an important negative trial. Again, it reinforces what we've been saying for a while. They deserve some great admiration for not only recruiting a huge number of women, but of following them up. I think you said 95% follow-up. That's amazing.
There was a lot of politics involved in this. Usha Menon was the PI, one of the PIs. The other PI ended up going from second author to second to last author. And he was involved in commercializing this test, this multimodal screening, and starting to make money off it before the full results were in. So there was quite a few issues, and it will make an interesting story to tell at some point.
Great. So we should emphasize that this is primarily included only women of average risk. There still may be women that you want to do something different. While the disease is horrible, there really isn't much we can do in the screening realm. When the symptoms present, they end up being pretty non-specific symptoms, right? Sort of bloating and GI pain and nothing specific.
Yeah, and it is recommended if women have non-specific GI or GU symptoms that part of that evaluation should be a pelvic ultrasound to look for ovarian cancer. And I think that's a good recommendation. We certainly don't want to ignore those symptoms. It doesn't mean the treatment can't be effective. It can be effective for many women with ovarian cancer. You could imagine other kinds of biomarkers or cancer screenings, like with PSA, for example, where you look at individual person's normal value and to look for changes in that as opposed to just a population-wide abnormal value. So interesting stuff, important study.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again in a week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.